Blog Talk Radio.
Tony Fab Productions.
Tell them to keep attacking me. Whatever doesn't kill me just makes me go hard. There ain't no need to pack a heat. Whatever doesn't kill me just makes me go hard. Tell them to keep attacking me. Whatever doesn't kill me just makes me go hard. There ain't no need to pack a heat. Whatever doesn't kill me just makes me go hard.
I'm all off in this group. I go hard for the crew. The only reason I'm living is to go hard for the truth. I'm all off in this booth. I go hard for the crew. The only reason I'm living is to go hard for the truth.
And when you go hard for the truth, you better watch your back for haters. Cause they'll sneak right behind you and look like an actual neighbor. When you got your mind on right, it seems like every day's a doomsday. Last week I found out my enemies, my roommate, don't care about what you say. Was I'm born on that Tuesday, riding all through the night like I never seen a new day. If you do it bad, do it right. Don't be worried about what the fool says. Don't be worried about what the fool says. Tell them to keep attacking me. Whatever doesn't kill me just makes me go hard. There ain't no need to pack a heat. Whatever doesn't kill me just makes
so
me go hard. Tell them to keep attacking me. Whatever doesn't kill me just makes me go hard. There ain't no need to pack a heat. Whatever doesn't kill me just makes
so
me
bad,
go hard.
Really?
I'm all off in this group. I go hard for the crew. The only reason I'm living is to go hard for the truth. I'm all off in this booth. I go hard for the crew. The only reason I'm living is to go hard for the truth.
Exclusive Tony Fad.
All right, all right, all right. Welcome, welcome, welcome. This is Dr. Will Rogers, a.k.a. Master Teacher 33. And today is Monday, April the 13th of 2015, and the time is 5:30 p.m. Central Time. As always, we have another important show scheduled for you today, and as you know, I like to get right into the meat of the message. I know your time is valuable. I respect you, and I respect your time, so I do not want to waste your time. I want to spend as much time revealing, explaining, illuminating, and simplifying the Word of God, the Word of Yahuwah and His Son, Yahushua. Today, my brother, today, my sister, got a very interesting topic, even for me. When we talk about the universe, when we talk about the origins of the universe, this one word pops up. That's a very interesting word. It's very similar to the word, you know, cosmos or cosmology. But it's pronounced a little differently. And the reason why this word is so important, because it has to do with the origins and the development of what we call human beings. Now, you got to strap in for this one, because this is a little bit outside of the box. Let me actually get the correct pronunciation for you for this word. Let me play it once again.
Cosmogony.
So cosmogony is a word like cosmology. So cosmogony. So when I say cosmogony, it's the cosmos, K-O-S-M-O-S, cosmos. So when we look at the cosmos, we're looking at the cosmogony. So now cosmogony is two words, cosmos and mogony, M-O-G-O-N-I-A. So cosmos and mogony. Now, this word cosmogony is a very profound word. It is the study of the origins and the development of the universe, the solar system, and everything that you and I know. So the study of the origins. Now, for me as a metaphysician, I study the origins of things. That's why I got into studying cosmogony. So cosmogony is a theory of creation. It is the theory of the creation of the universe from the Latinization form of the Greek word cosmogony. So cosmogony is the creation of the cosmos. Cosmos means world. Mogony means begot. So cosmogony is the world that is begot or begotten. It is the etymology of the cosmology. So the etymology of the cosmology is the development of what is called sentinel beings. Now, brothers and sisters, I told you guys to strap in. This is a Hebrews 6:1 message. This is not a new believer message. You want to know the origins, the true origins of mankind? How did you get here? One of the things that you have to over and understand is cosmogony. So cosmogony, again, is a motto concerning the coming into existence of this cosmos universe and the beings on this universe. Now, the beings, the existence, comes from the, now again, the etymology is a Greek word, again, which means the world. Cosmos means harmonious arrangement. Mogony means state of being. It is the state of being in this harmonious arrangement. How did you get here? So how did you get here? This is what is called the reality of sentinel beings. Now, sentinel are sentinel beings or sentience beings. Where we get the word sapience or sapient. Now, brothers and sisters, you guys know this is all I do every day is I just study the philosophy of words, the science of words, the metaphysics of words, and the religion of words. So in the beginning was the word. So I don't know about you guys, if you have to study something, since in the beginning was the word was with God, and the word was God, why not study words? So one of the most profound things that I've learned over the years is this word that we call the word, which is the Helios Biblios or the Bible. So cosmogony is the understanding of the word. Now, the word developed something that is called, and let me get the quick pronunciation for this one for you as well. Now, again, the pronunciation of these words are very, very important.
Sentient. Sentient.
Let me say it one more time.
Sentient. Sentient.
Sentient. Spelled S as in Sam, E-N-T-I-E-N-T. Sentient. A sentient. It means having the power of perception by consciousness or senses. That's what you are. You are a sentient being. Let me say that again. You have the power of perception that was given to you by sentinel or sentience, which is another word for a sentence. Now, you guys, my regular listeners, you already know where this is going because you over and understand that I'm an expert in grammaria or grammatus. It's called spellbinding or beaming. Some people call it witchcraft. Now, I know what you're thinking, but you don't understand. See, to cast a spell, one must spell. Let me say that again for all you good sentient beings. To cast a spell, one must spell. That's why the book that you got is called the God Spell. It's called the Good Spell. You are under a spell, albeit a good one. It is a sentinel spell. Now, brothers, sisters, let me get the correct pronunciation over for the next word. Now, again, strap in.
Sentential. Sentential. Sentential.
Sentential, spelled S-E-N-T-E-N-T-I-A-L. So you are a sentential being. It means something that has the nature of a sentence. Now, you ever looked at your DNA? You ever unraveled your DNA? What does it look like? A sentence. So you are a sentinel being, a sentence being. Now, brothers and sisters, the word sentinel, and I've taken all of this from dictionary.com, it means the nature of a sentence. Sentinel is a sentinel. Again, from the Latin. Interesting. Everything comes from the Latin. Now, brothers and sisters, we just scratching the surface. Again, I have all this inside of my book, Magnum Opus, which is a great work, as we've over and understood. Now, this is also from an earlier show that I did today on my sister channel called Christos Sophia. Christosophia is the etymology of the cosmos. It is the reality of sentient beings, which you and I are. Sentient just means sentence, which means senses. Do you have five senses? Anybody listening to this show that don't have the experience of sensations? Anybody? Okay, good. We're all on the same page then. Now, this S-E-N-T-I-E-N-C-E is also sentence. So a sentence is a sentence. Sentience is the ability to feel, to perceive, or experience subjectively. We all have that ability. A sentence is the ability to experience sensations. Where we get that word sentence. Now, everybody knows that there are seven elements in the linguistics of what I call grammaria or grammatus. Now, I won't bore you with that study. It's available here, part of it. And I also have a book entitled Grammaria, Grammary, and Grammar. Now, we've all looked at the definition of the word grammar. We know it means glamour. We know it means sex. It's sex magic. So language, or the English language, is a language of sex. So when you speak English, you are speaking sextan, S-E-X-T-A-N. Now, brothers and sisters, that's an entire different book, an entire different study on the study that I did, which is 666, means sex, sex, sex. You want to know why you got sex on the brain? You are a sextant, a S-E-X-T-A-N-T, a sextant. That is a type of a astrological entity. We'll put it that way for now. We'll come back to that at a later study. So sextants, again, are a particular type of expression or being based upon sextans, S-E-X-T-A-N-S. Which simply means six or sex. It is the sixth part of a circle. Brothers, sisters, let me say it again. It is the sixth, take a circle. Circle in English means kirka, and kirka again means celestial. So if you take 1/6 of a circle, you have a sextant. It is the sixth part of a circle. Now, this has to do, again, with an entire different study. Is the departmentalization of celestial beings, which you are. Now, this rabbit trail goes so deep that if you are not very careful, you can find yourself off in cuckoo world, meaning that you take on so much information and so much knowledge, like I did, that you end up like King Solomon, where you end up vanities of vanities. Now, I talked about if you go to Google, there are 10 scientists, all of the greatest scientists in the world, they all committed suicide. Now, the question that should be burning in your brain is, why did they commit suicide? Because of what we're talking about today. The understanding of the etymology of the cosmos. It has the potential, because remember, with an increase of knowledge comes an increase of sorrow. So I don't do knowledge. Knowledge is logos, Christos, without wisdom, application. If you got knowledge and no application, you're setting yourself up for cuckoo world. Let me say that again. The difference between what I do and everybody else, well, not everybody else, but a lot of people, all the knowledge I'm sharing is applicable in your life now. Knowledge without application equals people visiting you and putting you in this nice little jacket where your arms are strapped behind your back. You can research a bunch of facts and information if you like, but I'm speaking from personal experience. It leads to artificial intelligence, very dangerous place to be. So let's get back to the real meaning or the real meat of today's message. The meat of today's message, brothers and sisters, is to understand that this cosmogony is the origin of, it means the coming into existence of the reality of sentinel beings. So the coming into existence of the reality is not, it's not the only reality. Now, the word reality, again, means the what actually exists. It means what may appear to exist. It does not, it doesn't necessarily mean the true existence. It is a existence. Now, again, reality is imagery that can be delusional, meaning that your mind can play tricks on you. We live in a world where truth refers to what is real. Remember the moves in the Matrix, it talks about, Morpheus says, what is real? Do you mean by this chair, physical objects, is that real? So what is real? Do we believe that what we see is real? According to metaphysics, according to quantum physics, the spiritual world, which is 99% of what you cannot see, is more real than the physical world. In other words, when you are asleep, that's real. When you are awake, this is a dream. Think about that for a moment. You all, everybody listening to the show, you're awake. So when you are awake, you're dreaming. But when you are dreaming, that's the real world. Now, I don't know about you, that kind of hurts my brain just a little bit. So you mean to tell me right now I'm dreaming, but tonight when I lay down and go to sleep, I'm awake. That's the real world. That's what metaphysics means. Metaphysics is the study of what happens or what is before the physical. There is something, now according to the electromagnetic spectrum, we only perceive 1%, actually less than 1% of the electromagnetic spectrum. What is the other 99%? Our particle physics, plasma physics, the great Stephen Hawking, who they just made a movie off of, what about Max Planck, Einstein? All of these great thinkers all said the same thing. The cosmology, the model that we have based off of the Big Bang Theory, again, is just an illusion. It's not real. It is a hologram. So the cosmos or the universe, the uni means one, verse means song. This is just one verse in a song. So the universe is the totality of the planets, the stars, and the galaxy in our intergalactic space. Now, the universe is made up of subatomic particles. These are called quarks and nuons or neutrinos that makes up protons, neutrons, and electrons. According to science, according to the Bible, in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3, I'm paraphrasing, but you want to look it up for yourself. In fact, let's actually look it up. I don't want to mess that one up. Hebrews 11, verse 3. We've all read this verse, at least most of us. Hebrews 11, 3. Let's start with verse 2. For by it the men of renown gained approval. Verse 3. By faith we understand that the worlds, plural, were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made of things which are visible. Let me read it in the New Living Translation, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3. This is the definition of faith, which the Bible says without faith it is impossible to please God. So you have to have an understanding of what we call cosmogony. Hebrews 11, 3 in the New Living Translation says, by faith we understand that the entire universe was formed by God's command, that what we now see did not come from anything that can be seen. So the invisible realm creates the visible realm. Does that hurt anybody else's brain besides mine? Am I the only one? I don't know about you guys. That hurts my brain. So you mean to tell me what I see right now was made by invisible stuff? That's the same thing that science says. So the Bible and science is saying the same thing. So why is science on one side of the camp, reason and logic, and the Bible or spirituality is on the other side of the camp, love and compassion? The twain will never meet. Spirituality and religion, they're not on the same page. And if we don't understand what that means, brothers and sisters, we all are very, very, we all are selling ourselves short. Now, what does that mean for you and I today? In closing, All I'm simply saying is that when you look at the cosmology, and again, this is just an introduction, when you look at the Big Bang Theory, when you look at this cosmos, this harmonious arrangement, this platform, this grid, this, and let me play this word for you as well. This is a cookie blower.
Epistemology.
I don't know if you guys heard that. Let me play that one more time.
Epistemology. Epistemology.
Epistemology. Epistemology. Epistemology is spelled E-P-I-S-T-E-M and ology. Now, ology means logos or means word. So, epist meaning knowledge. So, epist comes from the Greek word epistle, which means knowledge or understanding. So, epistemology is the knowledge of the logos. Epist and ology. Anytime you see the word ology, O-L-O-G-Y, it means logos or the word. So biology, bio, B-I-O, means a course of living. Ology means the word. So biology is a course of living based upon the word. So we are biological, are we not? Electrical, are we not? Chemical beings. That goes back to a sentence. So when I put a sentence together, I form a being. It's called a thought form being. Now, you are responsible for every thought form being that you create. So, according to the Bible, when you stand before God, you must give an account for every word. Why? What is a word? The Bible says life and death is in the power of the tongue. Why? So, you just go around just saying stuff. You don't think about what you're saying. Go to Google and type in thought form being. At the end of the show, of course. What is a thought form? Brothers and sisters, a thought form is a disembodied spirit. It's a sprite. It is an artificial spirit. It is an entity created by human beings. The problem is nobody taught you how to create. You are an irresponsible creator. So am I. So every day since birth, you've been creating thought form entities. Now, I don't want to blow your cookies because the rabbit trail goes deep. Again, I cover all of this inside of my book, Magnum Opus, The Work. Your job is to under, over, and understand this. That's why you have the Helios Biblios of the Bible. So that when you read it and you read scriptures, we got the Logos, but we ain't got no wisdom. That's why we need Christus Sophia. So inside of the book Christus Sophia, I break all of this down. So that way you understand the truth is that you are created by someone else's thoughts. Let me say that again. The truth is you are a byproduct of a very powerful thought form that someone had. Now, what does that mean? Your mother and your father. Your mother saw your father, or your father saw your mother. Somebody had a thought and said, man, that girl looks fine. So your dad walked over to your mom and said, hey, baby, can I get your digits? And your mom more or less said, sure, honey. And then your mom and your dad hooked together, got together, they knocked the boots. But how did it start, homeboy? How did it start, homegirl? It started with a thought. Someone created a thought. The problem is no one has broken down a sentence being. No one has got into what I'm just scratching the surface of and that I talk about inside of the book, Christos Sophia. This is what Jesus came on earth to do. That's why they killed him. Do you honestly think if Yahushua had been able to express to you the power that you have? So right now I'm creating thought form beings. I am creating memes in your brain. You've listened to my show on memes, so therefore I know I don't have to break that down for you because you already went to dictionary.com and you know what the word remember means. So, yeah, I don't have to break that down for you, right? Because we all know what a meme is. We know that you got a memory, brain. We know that you got a membrane around every cell. Not one, not two. You got trillions of blood cells in your body, and each one of them, each cell, has a membrane around it. What is a membrane? M-E-M, brain. And now the membrane is a thin layer around the brain in cellular biology. So the membrane is a membrane. The word mem, M-E-M, is a culture transmitted by repetition and replication. It is the biological transmission of genes. Dictionary.com. Let me say that again. M-E-M, a mem. A mem is a way of transforming culture by repetition to your genes. So I want to regene you. How do I do it? I put you in an environment. Over time, it means to imitate or copy. I could take you right now and drop you off in Japan, come back in a year, you'd be speaking fluent Japanese. Why? You can mimic. The word mem means mimic. It is the motto of the gene, G-E-N. A gene mimics. There's a great book by Richard Dawkins. Was he like Richard Dawkins and I? He wrote the book called God Delusion. He's an atheist, by the way. He don't believe in God. He wrote a good book called The Selfish Gene. In it, he talks about memes, where the word mime come from. So when I say remember, it means to return to your previous culture. Now, what if your culture, your previous culture, is a bad culture? So you're sitting here, let's say you're a woman, you was in a relationship with somebody that used to beat you, and so you're sitting back there and you're remembering. Every time you have a thought of a prior event, you return yourselves to that event. You regenerate that event, and you draw that event back every time. So let's say you come from a poverty background, and you remember your childhood, how you grew up dirt poor. Your genes go back. Now, your genes doesn't know the difference between that event, whether it's real or not. It's a thought form. So if you dwell in the past too long, you recreate the past. Recreate means to re-return. The word re means to return. Mem means a previous culture. So now the word remember means return and membership. Now you had a prior membership with the Father. So Yahushua came and he's trying to get you to remember, hey, you used to be a celestial being. Somebody departmentalized you into 1/6 of what you used to be. So you are 1/6. The word sexton means a celestial being that is divided into 6 parts. Where are the other 5 parts of you? Remember there's 5 attributes. Remember there's 5 letters in the Hashem. Remember there's 5 gospels. Remember there's 5 dimensions. Remember Hebrews 4:12, the Word of God is a 5-dimensional book. Remember Hebrews 4:12, the Word of God is alive, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, has the ability to divide spirit, 1, soul, 2, joint, marrow, 3, and is the discerner of the thoughts, 4, and the intents, 5 of the heart, 5 dimensions. You want to blow your cookies? Watch the movie The Fifth Element again with Bruce Willis. They're trying to tell you something. So according to the ancient text, that's 5 of you walking around somewhere in other dimensions. Whether you believe that or not, I could care less. Has nothing to do with the one that's here. Let's deal with the 6th part of you that's on this dimension. Now, as I stated before, I've been doing this for 25 plus years. I could talk every day, all day, and I still barely be scratching the surface. Now, remember, I used to do 3, sometimes 2, 3-hour shows every day. I did that for a year. So it's just about coming to an end, but I'm wrapping it up. Let me say that again so you can understand the depths. And I'm not a very knowledgeable person. There's a lot of people out there that got way more knowledge or information than I do. But brothers and sisters, let me make sure that we are all on the same page. When we talk about this word, again, etymology, we're talking about the knowledge of the ology. We're talking about the knowledge of the logos. Now, some people call this philosophy. Some people call it a theory. It is the study of the word. Now, in the beginning was the word. The word was with God. The word was God. So the study of the word is God. Now, we say the study of the Word of God. That's not what the Scripture says. This is a study of the Word. So when you're studying words, you're studying God. That's what I do for a living. Now, the only problem is, which God? There's a lot of them. As I talk about, that's what the first commandment says, you shall have no other God before you. Why would God say that if there was no other gods? He's trying to tell us, but we're not listening. And it is this under open understanding, my brothers and sisters, something as simple as the word I talked about in my previous show, tradar, where we get the English word tradition. So the English word tradition comes from a Latinization of the word tradar or tradere, T-R-A-D-E-E-R-A. Now, this word, again, means to be wary. It's also found in Isaiah. It's also found in the book of Proverbs. It's also found in Matthew 26:73. It means to manifest evidence. So the word betray actually means to manifest evidence. So let me make sure you understand what I mean. The word betray doesn't mean the meaning that we have today. And so we have to trace back the etymology of the words because they create the world. Let me say it again. W-O-R-D creates W-O-R-L-D. The word God knows this. He wants you to get his words. The cognoscitor wants you to get his words. Why doesn't the Bible call you a person, an individual, or a human being? Could somebody please explain that to me? Why isn't that those words in the Bible? Why doesn't the God of the Bible call you a person, an individual, or a human being? Why does he call you a son, a daughter, a joint heir, a royal priest, an ambassador of Christ? Why doesn't God call you a person, an individual, or a human? A hue, H-U-E, color, man, being. Color, again, is bent light. A hue man is a fallen man, a bent light angel, a bent light being. That's what the scripture says. But we don't understand the etymology of the words because we didn't read them. We didn't study them. So that's all I do every day, study words. So I understand. So I wrote an entire book called I Am Too Human that begs and pleads and asks people to stop using that word because that word puts you in that world. So right now, you use words of poverty, you create a world of poverty. You use words of sickness, you create a world of sickness. So if you are using Luciferian words, you're creating a Luciferian world. That's what the Father is telling you. Please get into the word. I sent the word. Yahushua is the living word. He's the Rhema word. He is the living embodiment. The Bible says that in Yahushua, the fullness of the Godhead dwells in bodily form. Yahushua is God. He's an avatar. He's the God avatar on earth. Now, you do know that the word avatar means a deity who have come to earth. Again, don't believe a word I'm saying. Just go to dictionary.com and look it up for yourself. So since we don't know the meanings of the words that we use, we don't know the meaning of the world that we live in. Since you don't understand grammar and grammaria, you don't understand that the word avatar, now they made a movie. Remember the movie Avatar? What did they do in the movie Avatar? The dude was in a wheelchair. He went inside of a chamber. And then he went to sleep. While he was asleep, dreaming, he went to another world. In that world, he had a big body. He was a different guy when he was asleep. He didn't need no wheelchair when he was asleep. When he was asleep, he was in the real world. In the movie The Avatar, they're trying to tell you something. The word avatar means the descent of a deity into earth. It means to incarnate in a dirt suit. It means the incarnation of a god. It means the embodiment of God. So let me ask you the question again, sentinel being. Let me ask you the question again, sentence being. You are the sum total of every word that you've spoken. You want to change who you are tomorrow? Change the sentence that describes you today. See, I used to use the word like I am a loser. I am worthless. Nobody loves me. I don't use those words no more, homie. I don't use those words no more. Why? Life and death is in the power of the tongue. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. You bring about what you think about. It is done unto you as you believe. That's what Yahushua told the guy that wanted him to heal his daughter. He said, I have not seen so great a faith. It is done unto you as you believe. So your thoughts determine your world, not mine. So you try to put your words on me, that's called witchcraft. That's where you got to bind. No man can go into a man's house, brain, unless he first binds the strong man, his thoughts. So if I want to control you, I got to bind your thoughts and replace them with mine. That's called mind control. The government, they're pretty good at it. So my brothers and my sisters, let me make sure that you change your sentences that you are using so that way you can change your cosmology that you are experiencing. The world that you live in right now, the so-called reality of a sentinel being develops by the complete theoretical implications of the philosophy and the science that you use. In layman's terms, that means you are what you think. Period. Your thoughts come out your mouth. So if you think you are a loser, you create a world of a loser. But what if you think wealth, health, and wisdom? You create a world of wealth, health, and wisdom. My brothers and my sisters, again, this is just a small excerpt or chapter from my book, Christos Sophia, where I reveal, explain, illuminate, and simplify in that book, the Logos must be married to wisdom. Christos is always accompanied by Sophia, unless you're living in a Luciferian, Latinized world. My brothers and my sisters, this message, like all these messages, are so important. This message, there should be 100,000 people listening to this message. But people don't care. They just throw words around without even looking them up. I did it for 50 years. Till finally the light came on. And when the light came on, when I asked Father to show me, he took me to the Word. And that word was found in Hebrews. That's why I always talk about this message with a Hebrews 6:1 message. And I close today with Hebrews 6:1. If you don't understand anything about me, what I do, what I'm about, all you got to do is read the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1 says, therefore, let us move on beyond the elementary teachings about Christ, the Logos, and be taken forward to maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance. Remember, repentance. The word re means return, pent means top. The not returning, not laying again, that means the foundation has already been laid. Why are you redoing it? So you go to church, right? They preach Jesus Christ and him crucified, right? Hebrews 6:1 says, why y'all doing that? You can't move past that. But you stuck on the S word. But Hebrews 6:1 tells me, therefore, let us move on past. Let me read it in the New Living Translation. It says, let us stop going over the basic teachings about Christ again and again and again and again. Let us go on instead and become mature in our understanding. Surely, we don't need to start again and again with the fundamental importance of repenting from dead deeds and placing our faith in God. Do we need to keep saying that over and over and over and over and over and over again? So why does most churches, not all, why does most churches do that? Can somebody help me understand? I don't understand. But what about Hebrews? That's 6:1. But Hebrews 6:2 in the New Living Translation says, you don't need further instructions about baptism. You don't need further instructions about laying on of hands. You don't need further instructions about the resurrection of the dead. You don't need further instructions about eternal life. Anybody go to any church where they don't preach that? Anybody. I'm just asking the question. I'm just asking the question. Does anybody go to any church where they don't preach that? Let me say it what they preach against. Hebrews 6:2 says, don't do this. Baptism, laying on of hands, resurrection of the dead, what is Easter about? Eternal life. Hebrews 6:2 says, don't do that. What does Hebrews 6:3 say? Hebrews 6:3 says in the New Living Translation, and so, God willing, we will move forward to further understanding. Brother, sister, I have chosen. You can make this chain, that same decision today to move forward to further understanding. What further understanding? Hebrews 6:4. For it is impossible to bring back to repentance those who once enlightened, those who have experienced the good things of heaven and shared in the Holy Spirit. In other words, when you go past this stuff, it prevents you from falling when you get to further understanding. Because if you have tasted, Hebrews 6:5, if you have tasted the goodness of the word of God and the power of the age to come. So when you go past those basic teachings, you go into the next age. That's what Hebrews 6:5 says. Anybody want to go to the next age? It's called maturity. Hebrews 6:6 says, and who then return away from God? It is impossible to bring such a person back to repentance. By rejecting the Son of God, they themselves are nailing him to the cross, once again holding him up for public shame. That means that when you go to the next age and you get there and you decide to come back to this age, you are nailing Christ to the cross all over again. That's basic teachings. You can't go to where I'm at and then go back to where 90% of the population is at. If you do, all you're doing is nailing Christ back to the cross again. Why? You're doing the basic teachings. Hebrews 6:1 says, don't do that. My brothers and my sisters, I'm out of time. I want to thank everyone for joining me today. Again, we just scratched the surface of cosmogony, the etymology of the cosmos, the reality of sentence being. You are a sentence in a dirt suit. Change your sentence. Change your dirt suit. My brothers and my sisters, God bless you. His name is Yahuwah. May his son bless you. His name is Yahushua. May the Ruach, the set apart one, continue to lead you and guide you into all truth. Because he will never, ever manipulate or control you. And as always, my brother, as always, my sister, I will, make no doubt about it, I will see you in eternity. God bless you.